بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Deen is easy. There is no complication, no difficulty in deen. ما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج. الدين يسر. Ninety-nine percent of the times, the difficulties are because of our own doing. I heard him saying something, then the curiosity gets the better over me. I want to hear what he says. And then I'm not finished with this person, I would hear the third person. I heard three different views. I don't have the ability to analyze, to understand different viewpoints, and then I want to take a decision. So to be able to take a decision, prefer one view over the other, you must have some tools. You must have some instruments. With the instruments, you can say, all right, this view is preferred and this is not preferred. This is rajih, this is marju. Or if there is a difference of opinion, then I must be in a position to say that this, there is a difference of opinion in this matter. But if I don't have the necessary equipment, can I make a preference? Can I say that there is a difference of opinion? Can I say that? One alim, very great, well known, and his child wasn't very intelligent. Now you can see now his days are numbered and he has to leave. But he's concerned about the child. It's going to be the successor. In India, if the father is a Qaji, son will be a Qaji, everybody will be Qajis. Father is a Patel, and the great grandchild also will be a Patel. Now Qaji and Patel normally refers to the senior or the magistrate or the judge. If the father was Waliullah, and the grandchild can be clean shaven, be Waliullah. So now that's a tradition in India. The father understands that I'm going to go one of these days, and this child must continue. But he doesn't have the understanding, he doesn't have the brain, he can't work out things. Now how is he going to continue? He doesn't have the instruments to be able to see the varying opinions. You need to have the understanding, the ability to compare one statement against the other. But you don't have that. How are you going to do it? One doctor is quite popular and he's also about dying, right? So he needs his child also to continue the practice. So in the old days, I can still remember very well, the doctor will make a house visit. They have a special medicinal bag and he does a house visit, or they cut it off. So now the child is accompanying him. So the doctor, he sees the patient, feels the pulse, he's down, and he says that there is some coldness. You had something wrong. Did you have some nachis? He said, yeah, I had. Frightened, he said, yeah, I had. So now the father dies and the son is called out. So the son knows now what must do. Must feel the pulse, look down under the bed, and then tell the patient what he's done. So he felt the pulse and looked down. He saw a carpet. So you have some carpet to eat. So no, carpet, is it a thing to be eaten? So, no, whatever you say, but you had carpet. So now this mullah is dead and gone. His son comes to the scene. Before the father could pass away, the father told him, see, yeah, I give you one clue, you see. Use it, inshallah, it will work for you. So if they ask you any masla, if I'm gone, you must say there's a difference of opinion. So they say, wah wah, kitne bare alim, what a great alim he is. He knows that there's a difference of opinion. He knows the differences. There's ulama and they got differences, so he knows all that. Imam Shafi said this, Imam Malik said this. So he knows that he's got the understanding of the differences of opinion. So they tried him, and it worked out for him for some years. One person said, let me play the trick with him. He's getting away with this thing very easily, let me play the trick. So he asked him, can you explain me about the kalima? La ilaha illallah. He said, well, there's a difference of opinion. But you see, we can't use these things here. We just hear the difference of opinion, we'll take it. But is that the right thing? To be able to say that there's a difference of opinion, you must have the opinions, and you must have the reasoning behind. After you've got the reasoning behind, and you have the ability to decide, to prefer one against the other, to judge the right against the wrong, then you can say there's a difference of opinion. And if you don't have all these instruments, you say, I don't know all this. وَلَا تَخْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. You don't have the knowledge about it, then don't pursue it. I ask you, is deen easy now? But now you went and said, no, there's a difference of opinion. So I ask you, let me hear the differences of opinion. And then let me ask you, why did you prefer one over the other? You said, no, I follow this one here. But why did you prefer this over this one? You got any reason for saying that? When you don't have it, say, I don't have it. The malaika didn't feel embarrassed to say, la ilma lana. They didn't say there's a difference of opinion. When Allah Pak asked them, anbi'uhum bi asma'ihim, they didn't resort to this one, that there's a difference of opinion. They said, no, la ilma lana. We don't have it. We don't know it. Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked, which is the best spot in the world? He doesn't know it, say, I don't know it. Rasulullah SAW refers it to Jibreel alayhi salam, says, I don't know it. Both Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam and Jibreel alayhi salam both gave the same answer. We don't have the knowledge. Until the Jibreel refers it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala explains him the best spot is the masjid. But you see now, that's the style, that's the way. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, in a single sitting, they ask him about 35-40 questions. And he says, La Adri, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But what a beautiful answer, I don't know it. Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi, in a single sitting you will find, he says, Mujhe is Muslim at tahqeeq nahi. I don't have any knowledge about this. Same, approximately the same words of the malaika, La ilma lana. I don't have any knowledge about this. End of the story. But he didn't feel embarrassed to say, I don't know it. He didn't say, oh, there's a difference of opinion and try and escape. He didn't use all this. Now there's so many escape routes, you see. So sometimes this avenue is used, but to say that there's a difference of opinion, right? And it's used and it's abused. Sometimes that opinion is not worthwhile being quoted. It's such a poor and a weak opinion that it cannot be quoted, right? In 1910 or 15, there was a Sheikh of the Azhar. He was the Mufti and the Sheikh of the Azhar. Mufti Abdu, that was his name, right? 1910-15, around there. So he passed a fatwa that the slaughterings of all people, whether Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, Jew, everybody is halal. Now, he is a Grand Mufti and the Grand Mufti of Azhar University. And the whole Islamic world turned around against him. They didn't allow him to say that there's a difference of opinion. Nor did they come to his defense to say there's a difference of opinion. He said, no, you're out. It's out, throw it out. We're not going to go with it. His argument was, they're also Kitabis. They also have a divine book. The Hindus claim to have a divine book. They call it the Vedas. Buddhists also claim to have a divine book. So they could very conveniently say, but we also are the Ahlul Kitab, as the Quran Sharif says. But nobody accepted their argument. Nobody accepted their verdict. They didn't accept it. Thrown out. Then, coming down the line, passing down, presently, the ulama of Egypt, they say, the keeping of a beard is not a sunnah that is to be followed. It is just an adat, sunnat adiya. It was supposed to be in the time of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an adat. You know, that was a general trend. Like how wearing a lungi is a general trend. Well, that was the trend of the Arabs at the time. So that's the position of a beard. The position of a beard, it was just a customary practice of the Arabs that were existing at that time. Like how wearing a lungi or not wearing a kurta and wearing a shawl was a general practice. So it was not an emphasized thing. See. Now, can you see there's a difference of opinion? Now, if the ulama at that time or now say, no, it's a difference of opinion, and therefore we cannot speak out against the ulama of Egypt, then is that right? So the same now. See, either we say, I don't know it. Mujhe is Muslim at tahqeeq nahi. I don't know it. Refer it to someone that has researched it very well. He knows the arguments, he knows the counter arguments, he knows the proofs, he knows the counter proofs, the counter reasoning. Right? Then you speak about it. And if you don't have all the evidence, and say, no, I don't want to get into this because I don't have the knowledge. Yes, I have confidence in a certain alim, and I go by what he says. Because in my dini matters, then I need to have some direction. And from the people that I have researched, fima baini wa bain Allah, between me and Allah, I find him to be the most competent person, competent in the work of fiqh, competent in his taqwa. I find him muttaqi, he has the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, and he has a deep understanding. So if Allah Ta'ala asked me that you followed him, why did you follow him? So I got grounds to say that I followed him because I found him to be the most muttaqi, I found him to be the most understanding in deen, therefore I followed him. But now if I say Allah Ta'ala, you know, there was a difference of opinion. So Allah Pak asks you, alright, tell me the differences. Have you got any mouth, any face to say it? So why must we get into this? Many of this, I go through this all the time. Often, you know. There is some alim, someone is really understanding. I wrote my opening the masala, the whole thing right through, for and against, and explaining the whole thing to you. Now the problem I have is someone should know the whole tahqeeq, right? Three types of people. One, they want to know it over the phone. One is, he's emailing it, and from the writing you can make out, he says, no, I want to know about three talaqs, all the proofs, all the four mazhabs, the proofs and the counter proofs. Why do you prove one, why do you prefer one against the other? Just last week I got this right. He says, no, I don't need to answer this, because from the language that he's using here, I understand, he doesn't have the understanding. I'm going to write a detailed research here, and my research is going to get wasted. My dimag ki paashi ho gaya. I use my brain, you know, magaj mari hai made. I didn't get anything out of it. So if the recipient is good, then I don't mind researching the whole thing, writing the thing, and sending it up. And if the recipient doesn't have the ability to understand and grasp things, then I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting his time. I'll confuse him even more. So I just leave it aside. Now that's the second type of person. One is, he's incompetent. Right? Or he's phoning, and he wants to know our research. Right? One is that person that is genuine, he understands. He knows the arguments, he knows the counter arguments. There's a small problem, he didn't understand one aspect. Then you don't mind taking out the time, explaining the whole thing in detail with him. But now otherwise, just give a short answer, bhai. You just follow this and carry on. Tumhari zindagi ke liye yeh cheez behtar hai. Mohammad Thanvi sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, ustad, Mohammad Yaqub sahab. The three, he says that my knowledge revolves over these three personalities. Mohammad Yaqub sahab, Mohammad Gangohi sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, and Haji Imdadullah sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi. Now, Hazrat says, explains two situations. Says, one woman asked Hazrat Muhammad Yaqub sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, that why is it that the namazes that are missed out in the state of haze, that you don't make qaza of them, but the roza that is missed out in the state of haze, then you make qaza. Because namaz is more important. Salatu imaduddin, the first pillar of Islam. After the kalima, that's the first pillar. But there is no qaza for the missed namaz in the duration of haze. But the roza that is missed out in the duration of haze, you must keep the qaza. What's the reason? So Mawlana says that, gives an answer to the woman, that if you don't, agar roze nahi rakhogi, to tumhare sar ke par itni pitai hogi ki ek baal bhi baki nahi rahega. There's such a hiding that you won't have one hair left, one strand of hair left on your head. So that's the answer he gives his auntie, right? The auntie was acting like very educated, you see. So one answer finished. She's silence and silence for good. But then the students that were there, they posed the same question, that this woman asked some question, and that question had to be answered. But now these are final year students. They're like specializing. So they've got all the introductory facts. They've come right to this level, and then they ask me. Now Mona gave about a half an hour proper explanation. Say, oh, now we understand. We feel very satisfied. But Mona, why didn't you explain this masala to that woman? So she doesn't have all the introductory knowledge, when she doesn't have all that information in place, I'm going to be wasting my time and her time. She won't get this. If she's in a state of confusion, the confusion will just grow. And you are in a position where all the facts are before you. When all the facts are before you, then a small little maneuver and you will get everything in place. Well, Muhammad Yaqub sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, look at this type of people, you know, giants of the time. We're really indebted to the line of thought, we're indebted to them. We can't just be speculating this, that, no, by the speculation. Sunne wala bhi samaj raha hai, ke ye apni atkal se jawab de raha hai. Person that is listening, he understands. This man is talking from the top of his head. He doesn't have it. But out of respect and conscience, oh, no, I understand. Jazakallah, thanks. They leave. Now that's a South African style. When you want to move away from someone, say, Jazakallah, now we really appreciate, we really enjoyed your hospitality and all that. And they leave. They don't see the person again. Right. So they can't say it straight. So in an indirect way, they say it. Admon Thanvi sahab rahmatullah says that you don't give an answer spontaneously, right? You don't give an answer spontaneously. He says, now look at these two incidents. Someone asked Admon Thanvi sahab rahmatullah, what do you have to say for tasawwur al-shaykh? He asked the Muad the answer question, what do you say for tasawwur al-shaykh? Is it permissible or not? Muad said, I was just curious to know what is his understanding of tasawwur al-shaykh. He just heard the word somewhere, right? It's a practice in tasawwuf, right? But he wanted to know, Muad wanted to know, before he gives him the answer, what is your understanding of tasawwur al-shaykh? So this person replied, he said, my understanding of tasawwur al-shaykh is to imagine the shaykh to be Allah Ta'ala. So I said, for you it's kufr and shirk, you just leave this thing out completely. Whereas it's a practice that they encourage, right? Sometimes before, now they hardly encourage it. Because they're seeing the level of understanding has gone right down. When they saw it going right down, now you discontinue this thing. Because you will misconstrue things. So this person, Mu'az, says, bye, you just leave it out. Don't even you experiment with this. Right. One person came asking about a miras, you know, an estate matter. So Mu'az worked out the estate matter and gave it to him. So he turns around and says, Mawlana, you know, we had a family relationship, and we are passing on gifts for you for years. Now we've got a estate matter. You couldn't write it in our favor. So Mawla says to him, but all these favors were that I must give a fatwa, I must give a verdict, put my head on the block to give it in your favor. So take all your favors, take it back. Khalas. You want me to sell my religion for the small little favors that you are doing to me. So I take everything back. See now how careful a person needs to be. Our Ustad Mawlana Miraj Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Now we, presently the whole world is in a, you know, see me right, see right. You see right and things are worked out. See right and things are worked out. That's the world we live in, whether in America, Australia, wherever. Just that the see right is done in different ways. Sometimes it's done in a more polished and a glossy way, and sometimes it's done simple. I just take this coke, Omar kaam bana de, right? So some way it's unpolished, and some way it's polished. But all are doing it. All are doing it, from the top to the bottom, everybody is doing it. But that doesn't justify this. Someone was asking, you know what, but it's umum balwa now, it will be permissible. Umum balwa is a term that's used in fiqh, you see. That means all and sundry are involved, so therefore there must be some permissibility, because everybody is involved. You know, if you work on that law, all and sundry, everybody is involved in this, so therefore there must be some permissibility. Then I ask you, then all and sundry are involved in two gunas today, right? One is the guna of the eyes, right? And one is ghibat. Can you show me that more than 70% of the people in any crowd is not involved? Any crowd will find either gossip, ghibat, or misuse of the eyes, they are involved. So if such a great percentage of people are involved in this, then according to the law that you are explaining, then this will be permissible also. Now there is a way, there is a ruling on this masala, umma bal, you can't just extend it and apply it as you want. You can't. See the simple way, easy way, by hamare ulama ne is tarah se kaha, is tarah se karte hain. Our ulama, we refer to them, this is what they said, and we're going with that. Now you try and act clever, no, there's a difference of opinion, this, that, by explaining the differences. You say there's a difference, same, explain. No, I don't know the difference. I just know that this alim that I got confidence in, he's guided me in this way, so I'll move in that way. And you want to discuss it, then don't discuss it with me, because I haven't researched this thing yet. Yes, that alim that I refer to, you can refer it to him. He will give you the understanding. He will give you an explanation. All of this type of questions come in. No, this person was asking about Christianity and all that. What do you have to say? I said, all right, ask him to refer the question directly. You don't have the problem. He's got the problem. Ask him to refer it directly. Why must you get involved? It's his issue. It's burning him. Now, why must you get involved? You just refer him. It's so easy. It's such an easy thing. Now, you get yourself involved. Now, this person is asking about this thing here, and I need to know about it. Why do you need to know about it? One person is, I said, Mawla says, don't you just give a spontaneous answer. One person came up to Mawlana, he's asking about an estate matter. So Mawlana worked it out and gave it to him. The man just left the Khanqa, wrote it, and as he reflected after about 10 minutes, I made a mistake in this thing. Now the man is gone. First time he came, he asked for the masla, he was hurried. So we wrote the answer and we sent him off. 10 minutes of reflection, Mawlana says, I realized that I made a mistake. Furthermore, Thamis Sahib Rahmatullahi searched, sent for him, can't find him, he's gone. You know this villages, how they walk, see how blacks, how they walk, try and compete with them. You can't compete, they walk too fast. He's gone, it's from here, one way they're moving. So Mawla said, then I had no other recourse but to beg Allah, I cried to Allah, I made a mistake, I stumbled, I shouldn't have done this. Allah, you send the person back. Not even 20 minutes past, the man came back. So Mawla, maine aapke fatwa ko dekha, isme sikka to mara hua nahi. I checked your fatwa, And you didn't stamp the thing, you know. And I'm going to send it to my folks there. They're going to ask, it's not stamped. But you see how Allah turned it for you. So he stamped the whole thing and he wrote the whole thing. Got it checked up, now he put his stamp and he said it. But you see, that's such a delicate thing. You can't play around with these things. This deen is not an entertainment thing. I must give my views over the radio, on pamphlet here, on sign on the board. Hey, go and learn it. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينُكُمْ. See how clear this hadith is. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينُكُمْ فَانْظُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. This knowledge, this information is your deen. Then you must check properly, you must see, verify. You want to find out the person that you're getting your deen from. You want to find out his credentials, how thorough he is, how well he is, how well versed he is. Is he thorough in his work, in his research, in his checking up, in his reasoning, etc.? Is he doing a good job or not? Now, you just take a jump. No, that's not the way. It's not the procedure. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينُكُمْ. You don't just go to a quack doctor for a heart transplant. You don't go to a novice for a fourth degree cancer. You do that. Fourth degree cancer, you don't do that. You're gambling with your life. You know it. You will do all your research, whatever research you did here, whatever investigation you did here, do it for your deen. Here you check, alright, this is a specialist in cancer, what is his success rate? What the doctors recommend about him, right? And the patients that have seen him, what do they have to say? All the four or five checks you have done, then you refer to him. So exactly the same, you're referring to an alim, do all the checks and balances, then you refer to him. Now there won't be confusion, there won't be mudslinging, there won't be gossiping, there won't be stray thoughts, confusion, doubts, suspicion, nothing. But we will do the high jump. I found out someone, so I did my work. We want to appease ourselves. That's not the way. Rasulullah was very much disturbed. Some Sahaba Ikram are out in jihad. One Sahabi had a head injury, shajja, deep gash, open wound, deep injury, head injury. By the morning he had to have a faraz ghusl. Now he got a deep head injury, and by the morning he needs to have a faraz ghusl. If he doesn't do the ghusl, his namaz not right. So he's inquiring, Hazrat, I have got a deep head injury, it's open, right? And also I need to have a faraz ghusl. What do I do? La tajidu laka sabilan. We don't find any way, but you must have a faraz ghusl. He had the ghusl, and not long after that he passed away. Now the Sahaba Ikram's style was, if anything happened good for them or against them, everything is brought back to Rasulullah SAW. In favor, if it worked out or it didn't work out, they would give the full report to Rasulullah SAW. It won't be that the good stories, they will bring it to Rasulullah SAW, and the unsavory stories, they will try and handle themselves. No. Whether it was savory or unsavory, all the reports, they will bring it to Rasulullah SAW. Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened exactly, and we want some direction. Rasulullah was disturbed. He said, قَاتَلْتُمُوهُ قَاتَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ. You people have finished this person. May Allah Ta'ala ruin you people. He was very disturbed. He says, قَاتَلْتُمُوهُ قَاتَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ. You people have finished this person. May Allah Ta'ala destroy you. إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ أَسْوَالُ. The person didn't know, then his only cure, his only recourse was to find out. He did his work. Yes, you people didn't know about it. Why did you take a chance? You went very well versed. When you were not very well versed, then your procedure and what you should have been doing is refer to someone else. I don't have the knowledge. But now everybody wants to become an expert. Everybody wants to say, I know it. Be all, end all, I know it. Take the whole thing or to himself. I look at the mouth, Hamid Sabr Rahmanis Fatawa. Then many places say, I don't understand this thing here. Based on the principles of fiqh, this is my understanding, but I will beg you to refer to other alims. So what he is doing, he is not taking the full responsibility. See, this is according to the fiqh usul. You know, if you look at the constitution, then this is what it says, but I'm not seeing something clear. So, when I'm not seeing something absolutely clear, then I will request you to refer to some other alim. Now, it wasn't a show. Now, you know, I must take everything, all the show, everybody must refer to me. No, not like that. And then the answers once, and then he's not worried about the counter answering. Once or twice, max twice, and then afternoon. One person sent a questioner, one answered him. After he answered him, so the person counted. He counter-answered, counter-questioned. Now Mona is making proper research at a time when his ustad and his sheikh, Mona Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah, is overseeing him. Mona Yaqub Sahib asked him, what are you doing? You said, make such a detailed investigation, such a detailed report, 10 pages now. So he says, you know, this is what happened. I answered the person queried again, so I am counter-answering him. Mona said, right, you must write the answer that we are not engaged in a dogfight here. What we knew at the beginning, we have presented it to you. If you find it good enough, take it. And if you don't find it good enough, there's a lot of other ulama, you can refer. Khalas. So he didn't want the world to turn to him only. No, all the whole world. I am the man. You must refer to me. Right? There's nobody like me. He didn't have that attitude. What I knew, I gave the answer. And beyond that, if you find the answer not to be satisfactory, there's a lot of millions of people, ulama ikram, refer to them, class, another story. But now see the simple sunnat, practical way, a very practical, easy way of doing things, handling things. I ask you, will there be fights? Will there be problems? Well, I just ascended the minbar to give a talk. So one person sent a note, tum kafir ho. Now imagine you got to give a bayad. Your mind needs to be in a certain frame, right? Certain style your mind needs to be. Now he just sat on the minbar to give the bayan, and he said, tum kafir ho. Number two, second line, tum julahe ho. Kafir, you know, right? Julahe is his cotton weavers, right? Cotton weaver in India now, that customary thing, that zamana. Like the person that is very, very mean, like low, right? So he says, as far as the Julahe is concerned, you know, Mara writes, a little bit humorous, he says, I haven't come here for a marriage proposal, you know, so you can call it off. Because you've got to verify my credentials about me being a cotton weaver. If I'm coming for a marriage proposal, yeah, Julahe, we must give our daughter to this person here. I did come for a marriage proposal. But you're saying that I'm a kafir, alright, in front of all of you, I say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now what do you say? Anything you say. But he didn't get into a fight. He didn't get into an argument. No bashing and smashing. He said, I say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now? So you see the style, the way of our Buzurgan Adeen. Really, we haven't understood them. The reason why we don't understand them is we don't spend the time with the Buzurgan Adeen. Come, you're darting in and you're darting out. Darting in and darting out. And now we want to get that level of understanding, the depth of the deen. It doesn't happen. You ask me, it doesn't happen. You have to sit with the person, remain with the person for a duration of time, but with fikr. Not just sitting and you know you're concerned. Your fikr is right, you're focused with the person. After a period of time, according to the individual, your mind opens out. Everybody doesn't get it in one stroke. Someone gets it in a shorter period of time. He understands it. His understanding is so good. His reasoning is immaculate. So in a short time, he gets it. He gets it and gets it so well. And some person, he's so weak. So you go and explain him and explain him and explain him. But he will not just get the understanding. His understanding is weak. Imam Yusuf Rahmatullah, he saw one of his students. He's too silent. Nowadays they say he's a Sufi Sahib, right? If he's too silent, they say he's a Sufi Sahib. So he's too quiet. So Imam Yusuf Rahmatullah should see, everybody else is also asking. You should be asking something, you know. He prompted him for the first time, the second time, the third time. Now they're doing the section on the times of namaz. You know, waqtus salah. So now Imam Sahib Rahmatullahi prompted him for the third time. So he says, Mula, you know what? If one day the sun decides not to rise, then... So Imam Sahib said to him, you know what? For you it's better, you just remain silent. Now the understanding is so weak. Understanding is so weak, you're not supposed to ask this type of question. A new daughter-in-law pulled into the house. Now olden days, 5-6 families living in one house, right? We also lived there. And I don't feel ashamed about it. Right? I really am happy. And I enjoy it. When I think of the days, I really enjoy it. Right? So I go, no, it's not a complaint that we live like this. I enjoy that moment. And we lived well as well. So the new daughter-in-law pulled into the house. So the mother-in-law is saying, why? Sab aur bahu to baat karti hai. All the other daughter-in-laws, they are talking, they are saying what they need to say. But I see you to be so silent. My mother said that I must remain silent. Teri ammi ka dimag kharab hai, tum bolte raho. Mother's magar is not right. You must talk, you must say what you need to say. So anyway, now the mother-in-law is prompting her to say something. So after some good encouragement, then she says, Ma, agar aapke bete ka intikal ho gaya, to tu meri shaadi karayegi? Ma, you know, your son dies, right? You will get me reburied. So mother-in-law said, no, what your mother said was right. You must remain, it's better for you to remain silent. Now some people are, they are so thick. You're not in this job, yeah? We don't understand what goes in. You know, how people's psychology, how they think, how they reason, and how to work with different people, how to work with them. Some people are very quick, they'll understand it. They'll understand concept, true, they understand it. They understand it very well. And some people, you explain them 5 times, 10 times, they still can't understand. Right? They don't just have the capacity. They say, alright, come later, or go to this person here, he'll maybe help you. He may be able to help you. Right? But they don't just have the capacity to understand things in perspective. Right? I had planned to speak about something else, but now, when there's something current that is playing on my mind, I say, rather, just give it out. Maybe there'll be some benefit for me and for the people as well that are around. So what I was wanting to say, it's the grace of Allah Ta'ala. It's His mercy, His kindness, His compassion. That He's given sacred moments, right? Like the month of Ramadan. It's very sacred. Sanctified. Right? He's given the Ashhur al-Hurum, the 4 sacred months. Right. So the time has to be respected. It has to be appreciated. It's a sacred time, sacred moment. And Allah Pak wants you to respect, to recognize and appreciate that moment. The time on a Friday between Asr and Maghrib, most sacred time of the whole Friday. Either at the time of the khutbah on the Jummah or the time between Asr and Maghrib. That's about the most sacred time. Something is getting answered at that time. So Allah Pak and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants you to appreciate that time. In fact, the hadith also say, Ihtanim khamsan qabla khamsin. Appreciate 5 moments before it's too late. You appreciate 5 moments before it's too late. So we understand that time also has got some sanctity. It's got some sacredness. And the sacredness and sanctity has to be respected. Ala inna lillahi fi ayyamikum wa layalikum altafan khafiya. In the nights and the days, Allah Ta'ala has got some special moments. Ala fata'arradu laha. You make yourself available. There's a time, there's a moment. Right? There's a moment, and that moment is very, very precious. So you make yourself available. Try and exploit. Try and take the maximum out of it. So, the preciousness of time, the value of time. I mean, There must have been a reason why Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel Islam met him whilst he's ascending the minbar. And he says, person gets the month of Ramadan, but he doesn't get himself forgiven, doesn't get himself blessed. He's a real loser. So that means the time is also valuable. Why did Jibreel Islam have to say this? He's got the Jum'ah, he's got the Ramadan, but he didn't get himself blessed, he didn't get himself forgiven. Really, he's a loser. So, he wants us to appreciate time. Sometimes it's a Jum'ah, sometimes it's Ramadan, sometimes it's a sacred month. Salasun mutawaliyatun, three consecutive. Zulqadah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram, right? And the other fourth month is Rajab, Ayn Rajab now. But Allah Pak and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want us to recognize, to appreciate, to value these moments. He wants us to value these moments. Now, how did our Kabir do these things? See, now today there's a lot of gossip. Gossip, talk, either ki udar, udar ki idar. So there is a lot of cross firing. This side, that side. Now just look at this. Look at our Buzugan Adin and their response. Azmua Qasim Saab Nanuti Rahmatullah Alayhi, if someone would carry a tale, say, now this person is saying this about you. This person is saying this about you. So what his response would be? He says, you know what? That person was still alright. Jo kuch usne kaha, to mere push ke piche suna diya. Aur tu to itna besharam hai, muh dar muh keh raha hai. Okay, that person was still alright, you know, he spoke about me behind me, right? Gustakhi ki behind me. Are dur, dur ki galiya kaha lagti hai? Somebody is swearing me from a distance. It doesn't affect you. But you got the audacity to come and tell me on my face. So that person, will he ever carry a tail again? He cut him and cut him at the root. That Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and if someone is carrying a tail, this side, idhar udhar, ghibad. So Hadi Sahib will listen to him like he's, you know, he's like he's very interested in what he's saying. At the end of the whole discourse, he would say, are sab jhoot hai, sab jhoot hai. It's all lies. He discounted 100%. You won't get a discount like that, smile by. Mercedes can never give 100%. 100% discount. Why? Sab jhoot hai. All lies. So, will the person ever have a heart to save again? Can he eat any tail? Sab jhoot hai, class. End of the story. A third Muslim, I can't remember. A third Muslim, I don't know if it was Gangui Sahib Rahmatullah. If someone carries tails and ghibat again, so Ma would say, you know, I think they have a problem amongst themselves. He has got a problem about him. So he has to carry a tail because of the mutual bickering or the fighting that is carrying on. So he has to carry a tail to me about this person. So that in my sight, this person must be just smashed down. But they will just cut it off immediately. My Nani, right? She wasn't an educated person, wasn't an alim also. But alhamdulillah, these people of the past, any person of the past that you hear of, a decent Muslim, the understanding was very good. Understanding was very good. In our Randall's Road house, there were five families living. That was the time I seen her. I seen that house, five, six families living at a time. But she advised, we are children now, 6, 7 years of age. So I'll say, hey, your madam Aru came and hit me and carrying tears about each other, right? So my granny's standard advice was, see, in the next room, if someone speaks even out, they speak out even against me, then you don't come and carry the tail. What? If that person speaks out and against anybody, and even he speaks out against me, you don't come and carry the tail. What I say is, these people are not ulama, right? But I'm sure they do better, much better than the alimas of today. And khuda maaf kar, even the alims of today. They understood it, that ghibat, gossiping, carrying tales is not the way of Islam. But hum kya kare, hamara pet to bharta nahi. We don't get the satisfaction until we have to get someone to the equation. You know, this person does this. This person does this. Until we don't drag him into the equation, so we don't feel that satisfaction. We don't feel that fulfillment. We have to drag someone. As though we say, Allah Ta'ala, you know what?
Another, you're going to punish me. What about that person? You know what he did? You're not taking him to task. You're taking me to task. What about that person? Is that the way that you're going to present yourself before Allah Ta'ala? In an ordinary magistrate's court, can you use that line of argument? The magistrate is charging you for fraud, right? Can you say, but you're charging me for that person was, he's guilty of murder. What are you doing about it? Can you use that line? You can't use that line. They will tell you, but you worry about yourself. You are under trial. You worry about yourself. It's a simple way, but worry about yourself. Especially now this month of Ramadan is coming. Forget all whatever is doing and he is doing and whatever he is doing. But worry about yourself. Hazratji Rahmatullah, as we went to Jalalabad, this was a constant line that he would repeat. He would say one poetry, dhune dhuni apna dhun. Dhuni dhune dhoye apna dhun. You know, the khad wool, this cotton wool, you can't just use it. You know, they used to use it for blankets and all that before. So you can't just use it like that. So you have to first loosen the whole thing. So they got a machine to loosen the thing and remove all that binola. Binola is a seed. Remove the seed and loosen the thing, and then they can use it. So one person that is doing this carding, he is telling the other person that is doing carding as well, you know, there's some seeds, cotton seeds there. You better check out your cotton. So he checked up, it's only one cotton seed. So a bystander looks at the whole bicycle here and he says, you know what, bhai, you got 500 in yours. You worried about this one. What about the 500 that you've got? So we are in that position. I'm pointing a finger at you, but I've got 500 mistakes in myself. I look properly one time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. I'm looking within myself. I got so many mistakes. I didn't correct this. It is an alim's job to advise. He'll advise at a proper time. But that doesn't mean that it recluses him from checking himself. If someone thinks, oh, I know all the hadith pertaining to jealousy, I know the hadith pertaining to greed, so I know the subject. I know I learned all the hadith pertaining to sabr, so I got sabr. Why you got the information, but are you applying the thing? You read the driving manual, but did you go behind the wheel? You practice the thing. You learned the manual about swimming, but did you throw yourself in the deep end? That's how we are looking at deen. I know the hadith, I've learnt it, so I've got it. It's a different thing to know it, it's a different thing to have it. Two different things. So the first thing that our deen is teaching us, the time, look after the time. Sacred time, sanctified. You're wasting the time. اِغْتَنِمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ. The only moment, the only thing that the jannati will regret, right? Hadith says, the only thing that you will regret after you've entered, you know, you pass now, and you're about to enter Jannah. After that, there won't be any regrets. But that short interval, that regret, يوم الحسرة. You'll be seeing now, hey, that man, he got 100 marks. I have landed only 50 marks. That man got 1,000 marks. And I'm only landed with 20 marks. So that will be the moment of regret. I could have done something for myself. I'm driving, I would have a tasbih in my hand. I could have just read La ilaha illallah till I reach home. Coming back, I read La ilaha illallah. I could have made 1,000 going, 1,000 coming. Now I won't get the time. Time is such a thing, you can't take the time and preserve it in the fridge or something to be able to reuse. It's gone. Khalas. That's time. So the only moment, the only thing that you'll have regrets about is why didn't I use my time correctly. So one is the sanctity of time. Number two is the sanctity of a place, the respect of a place. That also Islam lays a lot of importance to the sanctity. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ. The places of Hajj, etc. Sanctified, respect. The Kaaba Sharif, the Manasik of Hajj. Areas we're going to go, tawaf, etc. Sanctity, respect. If someone is in the Baytullah and is doing anything that is disrespectful, how will people look at him? Hey, they're distraught. They'll condemn the practice. But it's a house of Allah Ta'ala. In a masjid, if you are raising your voice, you're not behaving. But please, it's a house of Allah Ta'ala. Brothers, please go outside and do whatever you need to do. But respect the house of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Don't we have that response? It's a place of respect. Respect. Come into the masjid, come in crowds, right? Join up shoulder to shoulder, right? join up the serfs and respect the house of Allah Ta'ala. I tell you, to the extent that you respect the house of Allah Ta'ala, your house will be in order. But to the extent that you will abandon, disregard the house of Allah Ta'ala, to that extent your house will be abandoned. That house of yours won't be having a consistent style. You'll have some ooch niche all the time. Coming right, going up, going wrong, going around, coming right, going wrong. Everything's happening. To the extent that you respect the house of Allah Ta'ala, do it how it's supposed to be done, and you see what a beautiful atmosphere you create in the house. So one is the time, one is the place, then one is the person. Even the person you have to respect. See, it's not just the time, not just the place, but even the person you need to respect. And all this what I'm saying is, someone is just going a cursory glance to the Quran and find all these things here. Doesn't the Quran Sharif say you, tell you to respect your parents? Allah ta'abudu illa iya bil walidain ihsana. La tanharhuma waqfid lahuma janahad dul. Doesn't he say? All this is born out from the Quran Sharif or from the Hadith, right? Respect. Then respect to the person that is teaching you deen. Musa alayhi salam is traveling to meet Khizr alayhi salam, right? And Khizr alayhi salam is telling him, you know what? لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. You won't be able to put up with me. So Musa alayhi salam, please take me. I'll try and listen to you. I will listen to you. Please, but take me. Don't. But now see, Musa alayhi salam is a Nabi. He's even greater than Khizr alayhi salam. Everybody is unanimous on that. But he's on the path of knowledge. In the path of knowledge, you know, I respect you. Whatever you say, I will go by that. Or he couldn't manage some things, and he excused himself. But in principle, he wanted to show the respect to his teacher. The Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, he says, one period in my time, in my life, as I was teaching in Sahanpur, I wanted to see people that were most progressive in all departments, whether in medicine, engineering, law, teaching, whatever. But I want to see those people that are most progressive, whether in deen or dunya. Deen or dunya, but most. But I saw one common line. The common line that I saw, those people that respected their teachers, whether deen or dunya, they excelled. Whoever it was, but they respected their teacher. For whatever it was, but they respected the teacher, and they excelled. And the person that didn't show the respect to the teacher, then he couldn't just make it. One that taught you something, deen or dunya, by respect the person, talk to him nicely. Sometimes he has been harsh with you. Your parents must have been harsh. You must remember it for the rest of your life. You know, this is what he did me. Give me a spanking. My father. Must you talk about it? Understand what is respect.